You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
You know, a lot of people put on this like audition persona. I feel like what we got was Kimmy, but it seemed like an audition persona that just never went away.
My close friends are like, people think that they can kind of get away with certain stuff with Kimmy, but if they actually try something with her, she'll snap.
That anxiety and like striving for perfection manifested itself in other ways.
The way that I would start to handle that anxiety and stress too would just be with eating. I am a much taller and oftentimes white passing individual. I have like weird stories from elementary school. We had like a pickup soccer game at recess. So it was like the Asian kids versus the white kids.
Oh,
and they
great.
Were like, Kimmy, like, which said
pick
you
a side? Oh, God.
Yay. You okay, Ian? Sleepy boy.
Yeah, I don't.
It happens.
It was a weird morning, man.
You know what it was? Yeah. I feel like there's a lot that happened to you this morning.
Yeah.
Plus just like consuming a full breakfast burrito, and it's probably just digesting right now.
I think so.
It's hitting your stomach so hard.
I think my body just is very confused right now.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the Smoshcast. Today I am joined by the way, I'm Ian.
That's Ian.
I'm Ian. Today I'm joined by Kimmy.
Hi, I'm here.
Kimmy, as many of you guys know, is in Smosh videos.
I'm a human woman.
She's a human woman. She has two arms.
I have two arms.
Two legs.
Two legs. They're not supposed to know about the second one. I do have two legs.
We have
That's
been concealing tea. one of her legs. Mm-hmm. If you actually go back into any video that Kimmy's in, you will not see one leg. We're always hiding one. It's kind of like, you know, in Home Improvement with Wilson behind the fence.
No, exactly.
You never see all of his face. You just see a portion of his face.
You just see a portion because I feel like I need to keep at least like one leg to myself from my public persona.
You know, that's really
smart.
Just
one
really
leg
smart.
For me. Yeah. I just need to keep some things private. So maybe you'll see my other leg today. We'll see because we're getting deep.
All right.
We're
getting in. We are. Yeah. We plan on getting a little deep. Because I feel like, Kimmy, you are a hard nut to crack.
What?
You are this nut of positivity and brightness.
Aww.
And I wanna crack into that nut.
Crack
and get
it
in,
open.
And get into the good stuff, you know?
The trauma-y gooey inside.
Yeah, we don't have to get into all it's not all trauma.
No, it's not
all trauma,
all bad.
But I wanna get below the surface, you know?
Sure.
So we got a couple of things planned today.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna be talking about identity, growing up.
Dope.
The sort of, you mentioned there was a sort of a need to be perfect when you were growing up.
Oh, hell yeah.
Potentially talking about some unhealthy dieting fads.
Cool.
And we also got a bunch of questions from you guys about Kimmy. So we got a lot of stuff.
And thanks for putting in those questions, guys. I saw some of those comments. Y'all are really sweet. That was fun.
Before we get to that, how are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm just noticing, I think, in this chair how bad my posture truly is. Do you ever notice that when you're sitting for a bit, you're like, crap, I am a
you have to, like,
elderly grandmother.
Recalibrate yourself.
I got to recalibrate. I'm a 26-year-old with like lower back issues at the moment. So I'm like, this is bad. This isn't good.
Well, there's exercises for that.
I need to do them.
A lot of stretching. Do you ever do yoga or stretching?
I'm getting into it because for a long time there, I just couldn't touch my toes. And I'm like, that's also a problem. I need to fix that. So I've been slowly getting into stretching.
Okay.
But yeah, but anyways, how you doing, dude? What's going on with you?
Well, I'm good. I was telling Kimmy about how this morning I woke up and I was like, I'm gonna work out. So I went.
Which is so impressive. I have the will to do nothing in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is I have zero will to do it at night. Because at that point, I'm just like, I just want to like sit and watch the boys.
Yeah.
Not like some random boys out on the street.
You just want to, yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. We were all very concerned.
Yeah.
Like
president of our company, ladies and gentlemen.
Boys.
it's a really great show on Amazon called The Boys.
Yeah.
It's so much fun, but it's extremely gory. You know, look, I think we're reaching a point where like just because you can doesn't mean you should in terms of like violence. Maybe I'm just getting old, but I was never really a fan of like ultra violence gore stuff. Like it doesn't excite me.
That's good. That probably means you aren't a mass murderer serial killer then inside. Like
that's
you're not cut
true.
Out for it. Maybe you would be if you were like okay with that stuff, but because you aren't okay with it, you're like, I'm gonna hold back on those tendencies.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
but like I was saying, I woke up this morning and I wanted to work out.
Yeah.
Cause I just need to. And I was like lifting weights and because I just have some like weights at my house. I was like doing like a little dumbbells.
Yeah, lift weights, bro. Yeah.
Lift, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I started feeling like really lightheaded and kind of like just nauseous.
Mm.
And this happened to me a couple times. And one time it happened to me at the gym and I like ran into the bathroom and threw up. And I was like, that's not right. And yeah, with this morning, I was, you know, working out and then I was feeling a little lightheaded and I was like, ooh, I don't feel good. And I laid down. I was like, ooh, I still don't feel good. And I went to the bathroom. I threw up and I don't know why I'm doing that. And
why
I think it's just because just going from like sleeping to then suddenly being like, doosh, 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 ah,
is that how you lift weights?
No. No, I'm very, all right, look.
But I would love that.
Oh my gosh, no.
You're very what? You're very what?
I think I'm pretty good with like my form, you know, and like, and taking it slow. Cause, you know, like with a lot of like weightlifting, it's not about like getting like fast, crazy reps, right, Kevin? Kevin can back me up on this.
Kevin.
But like sometimes you want to do it slow. Like, if you're curling, you don't want to just go.
That's not it.
It's not the full muscle workout if you're doing it that way.
No,
that's right.
True.
It's not the full muscle workout.
You hurt yourself.
Although CrossFit bros would probably disagree with me, but CrossFit.
I feel like CrossFit's like the more speed, the better.
Yeah.
Do
CrossFit's
this fast
just
and throw
like
that and then go over there. That's my impression of CrossFit.
It just seems like road to injury town. I don't get it. But hey, man, those CrossFit peeps. They look good.
I got an ass bad.
I have to admit.
Collectively.
It works. It works for me.
They see the results.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, about Kimmy.
Let's talk more about CrossFit bodies. No.
So let's jump into some questions.
Questions? Hell yeah, let's do it.
This one comes from Chrissy Furtado 1. Whenever you're on camera, you always seem so nice and bubbly. Have you always been that way? And if not, then what has helped you make that adjustment?
That's a cute question. First of all, thank you. That's a nice compliment. I, in general, do consider myself to be a pretty upbeat and bubbly person. Like, I like to look, I'm an optimist. I like to look at the good side of things. And I feel like it takes a lot to get me down, which is great, especially in the industry that I'm in.
Yeah.
But it definitely comes from my mama, for sure. She, if you think like I'm any bit like sweet or like if someone's like, whoa, Kimmy, you're like too much right now, like you're like too happy.
Yeah.
They haven't met my mother.
Oh,
I'm
what?
Like a little fraction of my mom.
She's like Kimmy times 30.
Dude. Oh my God. That's right. No, like Smosh people haven't met my mom yet.
No.
That needs to happen. She is, she's much tinier than I am, but she is just like bursting at the seams with sunshine. I do not know how she like maintains to be. She's just so happy all the time. She's so sweet and bubbly. And I feel like too, there's this part of me too that is like a little like over apologetic at times. Like I'll apologize to like an inanimate object for like hitting it or something, you know, like, and it definitely comes from her as well. Like we're both just that, those kinds of people. So I think if there's any dark side to me, it's probably my dad.
Okay.
But my mom is definitely like responsible for that bubbly upbeat side for sure.
Interesting. Yeah.
And then I guess if there's ever a time when I'm not feeling so bubbly or upbeat, it's like my way to kind of get back into that place. Cause it is like, for what we do, it is good to have energy on camera. It's good to kind of to be entertaining and upbeat, but I will probably just kind of like take a beat and like do the opposite of what I was doing and like meditate and just be like, hey, am I good right now? And like, in what am I experiencing? And if so, if I'm experiencing something, can it just maybe hold off for a little bit longer so I can just be in the comfort of my own home, chilling and processing? And then I'll do that. I'll try and just kind of put it away for a little bit, but always handle it later. And that's kind of, yeah, I don't know.
That's very healthy.
I try. When did you not all the time, but you know.
So you meditate sometimes when you're feeling like stressed out about things or angry about things?
I meditate to the best extent of like someone that has anxiety can meditate. So I'm just kind of like looking at like, there's this like therapy term of just like looking at each of your thoughts and like analyzing like what's behind them. Like if that's just like an intrusive thought or if that's something that you're actually concerned with right now. So it's kind of just like analyzing what the heck's going on in your noggin.
Oh. Man,
have you experimented with meditating at all? Anything?
I haven't.
It's hard. I don't think I can legitimately do the actual meditation thing. That's just my form of meditating.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, I don't know. The calming music and the like having to sit in one place for so long is my nightmare. All at once.
Because you're more of like a... like a high-strung type person? Like,
oh, for sure.
Easily distracted?
Definitely.
Too much energy?
I definitely was the ADD kid that was always constantly moving and couldn't sit still. And to this day, too, I feel like I can't just sit in one place for too long. Like, I'm always having to move around. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm like a shark. I need to keep moving to survive. Have you heard of that? They're like, don't they have to keep swimming to survive? I'm bullshitting. I didn't take marine biology.
I think that's
fact check.
Right.
All right, I'll look it up.
No, you don't have to. I just like think I either said the entirely right thing or the entirely wrong thing. I'm not sure which one it is. But I feel like they do have to keep moving. But yeah, I do. I do move a lot, and I am like constantly distracted by things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very entertaining existence.
Really quick, the answer to your question, Kimmy, is that is a myth.
Oh, that is not true. That's good to know. I learned something today. Thank you, Kevin.
Some of them might have to, but most of them are totally fine without doing that.
Oh, huh. Fascinating.
Do they sleep? Do sharks sleep?
That's.
I think they've got to sleep.
Do they sleep while they're swimming? That's
they never cute. Sleep when they're tracking you in the water, always.
Some sharks don't sleep like people, but they do have active and restful periods. So they don't sleep like we do, but they
just meditate.
They just meditate.
Sharks meditate.
You heard it here. Fact. Kevin just said it. Sharks meditate.
I did not say that.
Kevin confirms this message. He approves.
Oh, that's wild. Sharks.
If that's wrong, go talk to Kevin.
Sharks are so peaceful, bro.
They're so peaceful.
So Kimmy is like a shark.
I'm a shark.
You're like a shark.
I guess so.
That's
never
dope.
Made that comparison of myself because I feel like sharks are scary, but
I can't say I've ever been scared of you. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Darn.
No.
I just have to try harder.
but hearing about your mom being like very super ultra positive does explain you a little bit. When you first came on, so you auditioned, and you know, a lot of people put on this like audition persona, and I feel like what we got was Kimmy, but it seemed like an audition persona that just never went away.
They're just like this girl,
and I'm just
still
like,
going.
Is this girl for real? Like I couldn't. Like, I'll be completely honest. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone knew. They're just like, she's just very positive. Like there's nothing negative we can say about her. She's just very positive and it's weird.
Oh my gosh.
I wouldn't say it's weird.
No.
Like I'm not saying that your behavior is weird. It's a little weird.
I understand. No, I've gotten that comment before. I for sure have. And there are definitely, I have this like need to not be a burden to anyone too, where like that transcends to like all aspects of my life. So if there are times when I'm feeling like really tired and down on set, I like, and I'm maybe like going through something, I really try hard to keep it to myself if I can.
Ah.
Like it's a weird thing where like I'm scared to like, and like, mind you, this is just a personal fear, but like, I'm scared to ask people to help me to like move or do things. Like the reason my back is kind of hurting is legit because I tried to move like really, really heavy furniture on my own without talking to anybody else
because
I didn't want to bother anybody. I just like, I don't know what it is.
You can't do everything on your own, Kimmy. It's okay to ask for help.
Now I got smush back. No, it is okay to ask for help. And I'm like slowly learning to be better with that. But it's a work in process. I think like a lot of just my experience growing up was like, there's something going on, I deal with it. Like if there's, you know, like if I'm in a group of people, I want to make everyone feel good and happy and like not be the burden, not be the person that like has to get some help and like assistance. Like it's a lot.
Because you were the big sister, right?
I'm the big sister, yeah.
So maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, like even just like when I was a kid, some of the topics we'll get into, like it all, I can like expand upon more. But it is just something where like I learn to kind of do things alone and not like I have the best parents. They're so supportive and helpful. But like so many things that I went through as a kid, I'm like, oh, that would have been so much easier if I just talked to somebody about it instead of like trying to do it all myself and like stressing to the max.
Yeah, I never wanted to bother my parents with anything either.
Yeah. What you, because you have siblings, right?
Yeah, I have an older sister.
You have an older sister, so you're the younger. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get you. How far apart in age are you two?
Like 2.5 years.
Okay, so pretty close.
Yeah, it's sort of similar to you, mm-hmm. right? You just have one sister?
Just have one sister. She's 4 years younger than me.
Okay. Yeah, I never wanted to like bother my parents with anything.
No, it's true.
I didn't really want them to know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Not that I was doing anything illegal.
Yeah.
I was like making like little cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
And writing Halo fan fiction.
Oh, cute.
Which is incredibly embarrassing.
Little baby Ian, I love that. Yeah.
But they never knew. As far as I knew, they never knew.
Yeah.
But I just never wanted them to know what I was doing with my time on the computer.
Like, that's my private time. That's me just doing things for myself kind of thing.
Yeah, I just, like, didn't want them to, like, ask questions. And I don't know if it was, like, a thing, like, I was afraid of being judged. I mean, that's probably what it was. I was a teenager.
It's so funny that was your past. I'm sorry to mean to interrupt, but, like, you were scared of your parents kind of seeing what you were doing on the computer. It was your space. And now look at you.
I know.
Mr.
Yeah.
Smosh.
And my whole life is out.
Is out.
Bare to everybody. Yeah. I don't know what it... I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was similar for you where you didn't want to ask for help because you just didn't want to involve people in your business.
Yeah. It was very similar to that. And I think it was also, I don't know. I think I almost as an adult now have like overcorrected where I'm like too much of a communicator at times. Like I will like dive so deep into something. But like back at in the day when I was a kid, I think I just like, by not talking to people about things, I would just like read and like fill in the blanks in my own head. And like, and that would just be like not asking for help. Be like, this is something that's like, that's every human does. So like, I have to do this or like, this is what's normal. And like, I didn't know what normal was. I just was like making up what I thought that was.
Yeah.
But yeah, lost my train of thought there. But like, essentially, yeah, like it was just, I just kept, I was an extrovert, but I would for sure keep a lot of stuff to myself.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you mean by you communicate too much now? Like what is that?
Yeah, I feel like that is just at times, like, I don't know if it's just like having too much therapy at times, but like, I feel like I'll see something that is, I think, to be an issue, either like in a relationship of mine, like with like family or friends or whatever. And I will like pick apart at this like tiny little minor thing that like ends up being a non-issue in the end. Mm. But I'll drive myself crazy about it. And I'm like, this was what? That wasn't a problem. Like, that was fine. Like, everything is okay. Or that was something I could deal with on my own. Like, that is actually something that I could like kind of internalize and be like, okay, we cool.
Yeah.
How we doing, Kimmy? We good. All right, let's move on. But yeah, I don't know. How do you feel you are as a communicator?
I think I'm in a similar position as you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this also just goes back to like, I think to a certain degree, like deconstructing, you know, the sort of toxic masculinity that I probably had in me. I wouldn't talk about my feelings. Like I wouldn't communicate very much about what I was going through.
Yeah.
Or what I was feeling. And then I kind of did a flip where I was like, no, I'm going to like try to communicate as much as possible.
Yeah.
What's going on in my head right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then find that, you know, the flip side isn't always the answer either. Like you do kind of have to like, and now I'm kind of in this phase where it's like, no, okay. So like I need to like think about, you know, what I'm going through and like acknowledge like what's going on in, you know, my head, and then process it and then say it to somebody. Because a lot of times like it was just like stream of consciousness saying something.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person ends up getting hurt because of something that I was thinking that wasn't like totally quite processed. And I'm like, hey, I'm just being honest. And it's like, well, that doesn't always, you know, saying everything you're thinking isn't always the best, because it's like not everything's being like evaluated.
Exactly. Right? It hasn't gone through like a filter or like any, like some sort of just checks and balance of like, wait, is this something that this other person I'm saying for the benefit of them, or I'm just literally thought something and mm-hmm. I like, I'm like, you know, just spraying it out. Like where is the motivation behind it? That's definitely, I can totally relate to that. Like in past relationships, I for sure am just like, this is being close to someone. It's just like having no freaking filter. And I'm just going to say whatever it is in my head. And that's not always good.
Like, I mean, an ex called me an accidental asshole because I would because I would say things not with the intention to hurt them,
mm-hmm.
but I would say things because they were going on, and I would look at everything in like a rational way and not in an emotional way.
Yeah.
And then would end up saying something that just came off as like blunt.
Yeah, I getcha.
And so I got that term. So it's like, I was never trying to be an asshole, but sometimes the things that I said came out that way.
Yeah, I totally understand.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Amanda, you wouldn't believe this, but I have a few transactions that I accidentally forgot about.
Forgot about? What do you mean?
I mean, I was subscribed to a few things that kept charging me every month, and I forgot to cancel them. Before I knew it, I was spending way too much money. That's why I started to use Rocket Money.
I thought Rocket Money just helped you with budgets.
Well, yes, it can categorize purchases, help you stay on budget, but Rocket Money can track subscriptions and has the ability to cancel unwanted ones within the app.
I'm really, really happy that your wallet is feeling a little bit more full. So, you know, maybe we do lunch, your treat.
Whoa. Just because Rocket Money's app consolidates checkings, savings, loans, and investments into a single dashboard to give me a clear view of my financial picture doesn't mean you can take my lunch money.
Take a breath, honey.
Well, seriously, Rocket Money has saved me so much over the years. I really don't let any subscriptions fly past me.
Yeah, you tell them.
I am checking that app. I'm making sure that everything I'm paying for, I'm aware of.
Boss.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth. That's rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth. rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth.
Half of my family, like my mom's half, is they're all like very sweet and outgoing, like very much so like my mom and I really had to get used to the other half of my family that I actually spend more time with these days, which is like the Russian Jewish half on my dad's side, because they're so loving and they're so sweet and considerate and supportive, but they can be very like self-proclaimed blunt people. Like they tell it how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's not as much like emotion on the back end, like they say something without thinking about how it kind of hurts, might hurt your feelings or might be a little bit like jarring to another person, which is great. Like they're so smart and they tell it like it is. They just sometimes like will out of the filter and tell you something that you're like, ow.
I think like, yeah. And I've heard like bluntness being used to describe a lot of different cultures.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of like American culture is like very passive aggressive. Like,
yes.
Like we don't, like we're going to tiptoe around the issue because we don't want to hurt feelings.
Absolutely.
Or we're going to kind of like, we're going to, you know, not completely tell the truth because that could end up making a friendship harder or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's a, I think that's a very, I mean, I'm sure there's other cultures that do it too, but I think that's a very American thing.
I agree.
Of like not wanting to confront the issue because confrontation equals bad.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's like the little white lie concept of like, yeah, people say these things that aren't necessarily true to kind of like protect someone's feelings and like minimize what they consider to be the damage of like sharing with them the actual truth. And it is not something I enjoy. I don't like passive aggressive behavior. Just passivity in general,
it
like
sucks.
With communication is rough. Yeah.
It sucks. I mean, like I've been in plenty of situations where both myself and the other person were extremely passive aggressive, and nothing ever got done.
No,
nothing ever got sorted out because we were all just being too polite to each other.
No,
like we never confronted the issues.
Yeah,
because we were tiptoeing around it.
Yeah.
So it's like I think there's a superpower to being blunt. You just have to read the room, I think, and
absolutely.
Know like who you can be blunt to and how blunt you can be to them.
I also like, I do believe in the fact that like with being blunt, there is a way to deliver the truth that isn't like insulting. Like, you know, like that there's a way to kind of say like, I've noticed this and not like, you're such an asshole because you do this. Like, you know, like not deliver your own like opinion on that person, just like kind of like stating what the fact is and like, and that's it. Like, I feel like there is a level to, being truthful, but also, yeah, like being able to not go beyond what you need to. Like, you can have the truth, but you don't have to necessarily like insult the person while you're doing it. Because I've definitely like had some relationships where people are just like, they like, in the name of being blunt, they'll like say something super insulting. And I'm like, that's what?
Yeah, I mean, like that goes beyond, that might go beyond blunt, just being mean.
It's just being mean. Yeah, like it's, there's definitely a divide there. But I completely agree. I think being blunt is a superpower. And it's something that I for sure had to like get used to. Because I'm like, that is healthier. It's healthier to like be able to tell the truth and not to have to like lie to someone about it, because it always just ends up snowballing in some way, shape, or form later on.
Do you feel like people ever take advantage of your kindness?
I would say
like,
so.
In that situation where you're saying like this person is being like very blunt in this relationship, and you know, I can't imagine you in an argument.
Oh, really?
You just be like, yeah, you're totally right. You're totally right. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
It is my fault.
You
yes.
know it is. It's my fault.
It's totally my fault.
It's so funny. Well, like, what's funny is, like, people, like, that it's shitty, and I've like, had to go through some of this before. Like, the people that take advantage of me and my kindness are the ones that are, like, the closest to me. Like, that obviously aren't anymore. Like, once I recognize that happening, they're out of my life. But, like, in terms of arguments and whatnot, I think a lot of people do try to step to me in that way. They're like, oh, I can just like fucking steamroll this girl. Like, she'll do whatever I ask. Like, she's just going to be super compliant with anything I do. And like, that's dope. And I am like, I will snap.
Okay. Like, so that's when you pull out your dad's side.
Oh yeah. Like, I pull out my dad's side. I'm like, if it deals with me, if it's someone that's trying to take advantage of me, and I like, and granted, like, I will admit that like when someone is closer to me, sometimes I don't always recognize that right away. I just think that that's part of being in a relationship.
Sure. Yeah,
it's so weird. But with people that I'm not close with, I'm like, oh, excuse me? No. And then I like will tell them how it is. I feel like I've had so many conversations with people about my apartment and stuff like this, where I'm like, oh, you think that you're gonna do that? No. Legally, no. Like, this
what
is
do
not
you
gonna
mean
happen.
With your apartment?
I don't know. Just people trying things with me. I don't think my landlord's ever gonna watch this. I just like, I like my apartment. I don't want to be kicked out anytime soon. But no, just like things like them trying to get away with doing too much and not like prorating the rent, like kicking us out of our apartment and like things taking too long. Like, that's like the most recent way I can think of
just
where I'm
like typical scummy landlord stuff.
Yeah, scummy landlord stuff. And then once like also I will say that extends to like if someone is like trying to insult or step to like one of my close friends too, like I hit like a protective mom mode and snap. But yeah, like that's always a comment like from my close friends are like, yeah, like people think that they can kind of get away with certain stuff with Kimmy, but like, no, like there's, if they actually try something with her, she'll snap.
Okay.
But I do try to maintain civility to a certain extent where I'm like, okay, can we just de-escalate the situation nicely? No, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know.
know. It's like confrontation, especially for someone that doesn't do it very often, can be kind of fun sometimes.
I'm so bad at it.
Me too.
I don't even want to, like, I can't get in a shouting argument with somebody. I think I've shouted at one person one time.
Really?
It's not for me. I don't like arguing.
I think shouting is the wrong way to argue anyways, so that's probably a good thing. Yeah, if you're just yelling at somebody, like, what actual communication is occurring during that? Like, not much.
No.
That's good. I feel like I've yelled.
Also, in certain situations, that could be considered assault.
That could be. Yeah, don't do that.
Just for those out there that maybe like get shouted at a lot, you could be abusive relationship. All right, let's move on to this next question.
Yeah,
this one comes from McKinto Mouse 57. They ask, is comedy something you wanted to do when you were growing up, or is it something you kind of fell into? And then they put in parentheses, does that make sense, LMAO?
they just had like a self crisis at some point. Like, wait, what?
I don't know if that question makes sense. It makes a lot of sense to me.
It makes a lot of sense. No, yeah, you had no reason to doubt yourself there. That question was totally, totally sensical. Comedy, I've always been a big fan of comedy. I grew up watching a lot of like Monty Python with my parents. Like, they introduced me to that at a young age, which I was so thankful for. And my mom, like,
which ones were your favorite?
I think the Holy Grail. There's just such a soft spot in my heart for it. Just the fucking rabbit coming at the guy. I just can't. That image will like forever be seared into my brain.
Oh yeah, it's incredible.
It's so incredible. And the coconuts. Oh god, I could just keep going. But yeah, the Monty Python was so good. My mom's favorite movie, at least at the time, I'm not sure if it still is, was The Princess Bride, which I also just adored. And on top of that, with like television, we watched a good amount of SNL growing up too. Like, we would try and stay up, like, actually, like, on that night and see it.
You got to stay up.
Like, every once in a while. And it was definitely when I was older, because, like, my bedtime was obnoxious when I was younger. I was sure one of the 8:30 kids that would go to bed normally.
Oh, wow.
But, like, on the weekends, there was some flexibility sometimes, and we would try and stay up and watch things when I got a little older. But, yeah, I was always such a big fan, and it was something that was always fun for me. I don't know if I ever, like, considered myself in, like, my friend groups to be, like, the funny one, per se, but I think other people probably would have said that, but it just didn't seem, like, I was always such a musical theater kid. I did acting when I was younger. I thought that was just being outgoing, and I was just obnoxious, but, like, fine with it, like, down with my obnoxiousness. And I think it was, honestly, not till much later. So, like, comedy specifically, it was, like, probably once I did, like, even, like, my Smosh audition, and, like, I was just before then, like, it just kind of worked out perfectly where I was starting to, like, dive into sketch comedy with a friend of mine, and, like, this is really fun to write and be a part of, and characters are so interesting. And then I had my Smosh audition, and I was like, oh, this is actually something that I think I can do. And then I started taking, like, Groundlings classes and, like, just in general, like, studying more comedy and, like, watching more stand-up and, like, just trying to kind of educate myself about it.
You started taking Groundlings, which is like an improv group. Mm-hmm. You started doing that after the Smosh audition?
Yeah, oh, interesting. After Smosh. Like, I had taken, like, improv classes before, just, like, from, like, random acting studios and things and in school and stuff. But I hadn't, like, really started getting down to, like, the nitty-gritty until after I started with Smosh. So I was like, this is really fun. And, like, I've already just kind of naturally gravitated towards it, like, with my friend. Like, we were doing a bunch of, like, Insta videos together just with our downtime from auditions. Like, we wanted to try and kind of stay creatively active, and we both liked writing sketches, so we're like, cool. Like, I don't even think we quite understood the concept of a sketch at the time. We just were kind of like, these are short and these are fun, and here are two characters, like, cool. So I always loved comedy. I just didn't know that it was something I had such a passion for pursuing until, like, much later in life, and I'm so thankful for it.
Yeah,
it's so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to say it's, like, the same for me.
Yeah,
like, I had no idea that this is what I would do, and that I would do comedy or be an actor, even.
Yeah, like, it kind of sneaks up.
I mean, I was even further away from it than you were. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't even in theater.
Yeah,
like, I wasn't a theater kid. I was a cool jock. All right,
cool jock.
I did cross country, which is everyone knows is the coolest sport.
Objectively, the coolest jocks, cross country jocks. Check me on.
Oh
that.
Yeah, totally the coolest. Totally the coolest.
Yeah, every high school movie
except
trope.
Not, but we all had some good legs though.
You guys had, I bet bet you have some great legs.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all probably had some nice butts, too. Just like the full downwards package.
Actually, well, there was one guy that would always moon us.
What?
But it was so covered in hair that I can't really evaluate his
then
butt.
He wasn't ever really naked then. If he had hair covering.
Yeah, we called him the vortex.
What?
Because his ass hair swirled in the direction of where I assume his butthole was.
Just the fact that you guys got a good enough look at his ass hair to determine that it was a vortex is a sign.
He liked to moon us on runs. Like, he would run, he would like sprint ahead of us and then moon us or moon other people. Now that I think about it, it's like, oh, that probably wouldn't really fly anymore, because people would probably say it was sexual harassment.
Yeah,
but it was always around the boys, you know. It wasn't like a way to like sexually harass anyone. It was just, you know, being silly boys. Don't go out there and show your parts to people.
Bad.
Not unless they specifically ask for it, and then you're both consenting adults.
Yeah, if there's consent involved. Can you imagine like that scene replaying of him like trying to run in front of all you guys being like, hey bro, you consent?
Yeah, do you guys all consent? We consent. I think, I mean, nobody ever told him like, hey, please don't ever do that again. I'm really offended by that. So I guess that, well, no, that's not, no.
Oh, did someone say?
I can't say that was a, no, I'm just saying I can't say that was a form of consent by not saying anything.
Yeah, right.
But I think we all had a good laugh. We always had a good laugh at his.
Good times.
At his just insanely hairy butt. So much hair. I don't understand.
How did we get to this part of the conversation?
Hairy butts?
Hairy butts?
Yeah.
How is that not always our conversation?
Yeah.
this entire podcast is brought to you by Harry Butts. Yeah, how did we get there?
I don't know. So,
oh, we were talking about like our younger selves, and I was a theater kid, but you were a cool jock. That
is it true that all the theater kids make out?
If they did, that would make me really sad, because I just always wanted to be made out with. No one would make out with
me. No one made out with you?
I had my first kiss when I was, I think, like 16.
Mm.
So I had a few years there of like just longing for boy attention, and I never got it. There was quite a bit of like incestual couples within the theater community that would occur, and then they would make out with each other. I never experienced, like, I never really got invited to like a cool kid party until probably college. Like, I never got, like, no one drank at the parties I went to. There was always someone's mom in the corner like doing really loud karaoke. Like, that was the
what?
They were fun.
Karaoke?
I don't know. I just like sometimes moms feel like they had to get the parties going, especially in Irvine, because they were just like super involved and like hover parents for sure. So they're just like, yeah, look at us having fun. I'm sure my mom probably did that at one of my parties too, which would have made me so happy, because my mom and I are just like so down with each other. Like, we're so close. But yeah, I don't know. Bless their little souls. They're just trying to get their kids to have a good time.
I remember.
The cuties.
I remember because you're... Your mom is Filipino, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching like an Anthony Bourdain episode, and he went to the Philippines.
Yeah.
And like, there was like this whole thing about how like in the Philippines, they take karaoke so seriously.
Oh, so seriously, yes.
Is your mom serious about karaoke? Is she just like crazy into it?
She was when we were younger. Like, we had so many different karaoke machines. Like, we had the big fat boy.
Really?
We had the big fat boy, and then we had like a smaller boy. And then we had, I'm sorry, I'm getting far away. We made a smaller boy, and then we like later on started to transform into the SingStar family, and we did that quite a bit. We didn't spend as much time with my mom's side of the family growing up, but when we did, that was like our entire party was just like singing Karma, 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 Chameleon.
Sure,
and like, I don't know, probably some Celine Dion song. My grandma's a big Celine Dion fan. That would be so much of the parties, and my mom missed it a lot and like would try and incorporate it into like our friend, like my friend group, and we'd be hanging out, or like if we had a party at our house or something, like there'd be karaoke involved. But yeah, I feel like Filipinos do take it very seriously, because also like so many Filipinos are so just like naturally talented singers and or dancers, and it makes no sense. Like, there needs to be way more talent scouting competitions in the Philippines, because I see videos all the time that have like gone viral of this like kid in like a poorer section of like some island that is just like busting a move and is so good, or like an amazing singer, like hitting these riffs and notes that like who else can achieve? I don't know, like freaking whistle tones and stuff. But yeah, I don't, it is. It's somehow a part of our culture. And I don't know how, like, I'm very curious about the origins of it all, but we are so on board.
So, Ian, I don't know if you were going to get to this, but were you referencing the social phenomenon that happened in the Philippines, the My Way murders? Have you heard about that?
No.
So there's a whole thing that happened in the Philippines. The song My Way by Frank Sinatra is really big in the Philippines in karaoke.
Yeah.
And there was a rash in like the early 2000s, there was a rash of murders happening.
Somebody got murdered every time they played it on the radio?
Well, during karaoke at karaoke bars.
When they would sing that?
Because apparently it was such a powerful song too that if people would sing it badly, they would get booed off stage and fights would break out and people would get murdered over the song.
That's insane.
Whoa, it's like a soccer match, like when the referees would get murdered. Damn.
That's crazy.
So per the article here, in the Philippines, they take karaoke very seriously. Don't ever sing My Way wrong.
Oh my God, never. That is insane.
And don't sell drugs in the Philippines either.
Don't sell drugs in the Philippines. Just don't do anything weird in the Philippines. Let's just be safe there. It can be a little scary at times.
Be safe in the Philippines. And I mean, obviously, we've always had a really big viewership from the Philippines. So shout out to my Pinoy boys.
Hey. Salamat for watching. Thank you.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Amanda, you wouldn't believe this, but I have a few transactions that I accidentally forgot about.
Forgot about? What do you mean?
I mean, I was subscribed to a few things that kept charging me every month, and I forgot to cancel them. Before I knew it, I was spending way too much money. That's why I started to use Rocket Money.
I thought Rocket Money just helped you with budgets.
Well, yes, it can categorize purchases, help you stay on budget, but Rocket Money can track subscriptions and has the ability to cancel unwanted ones within the app.
I'm really, really happy that your wallet is feeling a little bit more full. So, you know, maybe we do lunch, your treat.
Whoa. Just because Rocket Money's app consolidates checking, savings, loans, and investments into a single dashboard to give me a clear view of my financial picture doesn't mean you can take my lunch money.
Take a breath, honey.
Well, seriously, Rocket Money has saved me so much over the years. I really don't let any subscriptions fly past me.
Yeah, you tell them.
I am checking that app. I'm making sure that everything I'm paying for, I'm aware of.
Boss.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth. That's rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth. rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth.
You probably dealt with this, like, because with Anthony, because he's quarter
Padilla, that's where it comes from, right? Like Jimenez, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the thing that would always happen is, like, people would always mistake him for being like Latinx.
Oh, all the time. Dude, have I told you some of the stories of, like, when I first came to LA, of, like, I don't know if I talked about it in the last podcast. If I did, cut this out because that's probably annoying. So because Jimenez is most oftenly known as a Latinx name, there were so many times when I, in auditions, especially when I was starting off and especially commercially, because, like, they would just kind of, like, call in so many people for the same audition to read one line, they would all assume that I spoke fluent Spanish.
Oh, great.
It was so good. And there was this one amazing audition, like, thank you so much to my agent for getting me this, where she neglected to tell me that it was a fluent Spanish audition, but also that they would be testing me there. So there was a situation where, like, I said some lines in Spanish, and then they had like a native Spanish speaker behind the camera.
And she's just like,
that was just like, you don't do that. You didn't speak any of this. You go out, you leave. And they were just like rapid fire speaking Spanish to me. I was like, crap. Can we like slow it way down? And can you also write it out? Because I'm way better at reading Spanish than I am at talking.
Yeah.
I can see that that confusion happening a bit for Anthony too, because I get the same thing. People don't really like know what to categorize me as a lot of times when they see me. They just kind of, I don't know, they see my last name and they just automatically assume that is that I'm Latinx and that's my my ethnic background. But it does bring up an interesting conversation too, though, when people do dive further into it. And I'm like, actually, no, like I'm Filipino. Like, you know, there was a colonization by Spain for a while and there's a lot of Filipinos with Spanish last names. That's a very common occurrence. So that is funny. Would Anthony get that quite a bit then? Even like as you guys got bigger in the
YouTube
world?
It was always in the comments and we made, and we also like, it didn't help that we made a video that was like a joke about something. It was called, and we titled it Anthony is Mexican. So that probably didn't help.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was always comments being like, oh, Anthony. Oh yeah. He's Mexican. And we'd just be like, I'm sorry.
Like, no.
No.
He's not.
Not that it really changes anything.
It doesn't. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's not like, I don't care if someone mistakes me for that. It's just the in general when it comes to like people meeting someone that they're like curious about their ethnicity or something, like the freaking assumptions of which I'm just like, no, don't just assume anything. And then don't do like the general like questioning of things or like thinly veiled, like trying to get to know where you're from. That's just the most annoying thing that you could possibly do to someone that is mixed or color. It's so weird. I don't know where that came from. Like, why people think it's okay to just be like, you're Mexican? Like, wait, you're like, I'm like, don't, no, stop. Like, stop trying to guess.
I don't know how this matters in this situation.
Like, why does this matter?
Yeah.
I think every person that's of mixed race kind of deals with at some point. But there is this level of like, especially if there aren't a lot of other mixed race kids in your family, where you're just kind of like you feel the need to identify more with one side than another. Like, people kind of ask you to get into a box of sorts, and they're like, which one do you feel like you're more a part of? Which one do you feel like you're more attached to? And I'm still struggling with, and I don't know what the right answer is to all this, of like, if I do identify with one side more than another, or if I am just this like anomaly of a person that only someone else of like mixed race can kind of identify with in the same way. What was strange is that I think especially even like with like my sister, other members of my family, I am a much taller and oftentimes white passing individual. So I would like went through a lot of like, not a lot of, but like there will definitely be situations where someone will say something to me that they wouldn't have said if they knew I was Filipino or I was Asian. Like they would say kind of, yeah, like racist or very troubling things. And so I do have this kind of unique perspective where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm that person that like the fly on the wall a little bit in the sense where like I'm the spy in certain ways. Cause like, yeah. And they're just like, oh, well, she's like way too tall. And like, she just doesn't like quite have what I'd imagine to be Asian features. So like, yeah, like I can talk about this stuff. Like they wouldn't even like think about it. Like growing up in Irvine has a very large Asian percentage of people as well as a large percentage of like white people. For some reason still, even though there were also quite a few mixed kids.
But is it integrated or is it pretty separated?
Well, like, for the most part, it's pretty integrated because I grew up with so many kids that are like Hapa and biracial and that are mixed. But weirdly, like I have like weird stories from elementary school because kids are just so strange sometimes. Like we, I guess, had enough of a population of like Asian kids and white kids that they, so bad. We had like a pickup soccer game at recess. So it was like the Asian kids versus the white kids.
Oh,
and they
great.
Were like, Kimmy, like, which said
pick
you
a side?
Choose?
Oh, God.
And I was
come
just,
on, Kimmy, pick a side in the race
pick
war.
Pick a freaking side. I'm like, what? I don't even know how I ended that whole thing. Like, I don't remember what my decision was. I think I tried to be the ref.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could be the ref. You know?
I'm like, oh, the mixed kid can be the ref. Like, that's it. She's unbiased because she's not.
Or you could play either 100%. Side. You just have to play mid.
Yeah, like, you just, yeah, exactly. It was just, it's just kids are... are so strange in that way. But I think, like, to anyone that is maybe going through a bit of, like, a racial identity crisis or doesn't need, like, there is no need to feel you have to be assimilating to one side or to feel like you have to identify with just one thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still figuring it out. And I think everyone just kind of figures out their identity more as they grow up. In general, with this kind of inner, like, deeper dive into trying to figure out what my identity looks like and, like, who I am as a person. And the best part of all that has been just kind of learning more about each sides of my culture and trying to just kind of educate myself more on, like, the history of things. Like, it's such a fascinating conversation. Like, if you are lucky enough to have any relatives that maybe, like, immigrated at some point, like, to kind of hear their story. Like, I've read some amazing letters even on my Russian Jewish side from my great-great grandparents, like, as they were immigrating from Russia. And it's cool. It's cool just in general to learn more about your family and, like, whatever capacity that might be. And it's definitely, the identity crisis is a work in progress. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm in a very happy place where I'm like, I don't really quite know, like, how I identify, and that's really cool. And, like, even as, like, one of the things I've been getting more into recently is just trying to write more. Like, that's a concept I've been trying to explore, and because I think a lot of people can relate to that, I guess. But yeah,
I get that. Mm-hmm. I was watching this Netflix movie that was based on a book called Indian Horse, and it kind of goes into it's a fictional story, but based very much on the realities of a lot of the First Nations people that lived in Canada. The Indigenous people in Canada, and a lot of you know, their culture was wiped out intentionally.
Wow.
By the church and the Canadian government.
Yikes.
And it kind of goes into this whole sort of, like, thing of, like, how do you have, like, you know, when you wipe out somebody's past and culture, you have people that don't have an identity.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole big, like, you know, phrase that came out of that movie was, like, you don't know where you're going without knowing where you've been.
No, it's true. Yeah. Learning more about your past. And that's so interesting. And that was on Netflix, you said?
I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so true. Do you have any idea of, like, your family's, like, kind of history, or, like, have you guys always been from Northern California?
Like, yeah, I mean, like, it's never really had to be something that I really grappled with, and obviously that's a privilege thing, I think, to be like, yeah, no, I don't know, like, I'm a straight white male, like, this place has been kind of built for me, so I guess it's okay, like, you know, like. I think I identify more as a Californian than I do as an American.
I get that.
Because it does feel like, America is such a, but then I think about it more and I'm like, well, California is massive and there's a lot of, like, ideals, ways of living that I don't agree with that other Californians have. So do I even identify as being a Californian? I don't know.
Who knows?
What is it? I don't, like, to me, it's not something that I trouble myself with very much.
I gotcha.
But
that's so interesting, because California really does, like, if you go to another part of the country, a lot of times, like, especially when I would spend a lot more of my childhood and growing up experience in California, and then I would, like, randomly go on trips to places, it's unrecognizable at times. You're just like, wait, we're still in the same country? Like, these people are crazy.
I mean, we shouldn't be.
No. Right?
It's a large landmass.
Like, it's a large landmass.
You look at Europe and it's like you drive for, like, an hour and you're in a totally different country. You drive you could drive for 10 hours and still be in California.
No, it's true. Even, like, Northern California versus Southern California, there is such a difference too. And I feel like the way that people kind of, like, operate and just, like, hold themselves. My mom was born and raised in LA and, like, didn't really know much else other than that. Like, she went to UCLA. She spent her life there, essentially. And then my parents were pregnant with me. Weirdly, we were living at the time in Butler, Pennsylvania, in this kind of, like, really rural part where, like, it was a lot of people there just, like, had never seen an Asian person before. My mom was just, like, felt so out of place. This, like, poor, tiny, super pregnant Asian woman just, like, walking around trying to, like, shovel snow and stuff. Like, oh gosh, wow, what a superhero. But she was just, like, just felt so weird and so off-putting, like, to be living there for an extended period of time. And she was like, nope, gotta go. Like, a year after I was born, like, we moved back instantly. She's like, this is what I know. And this is, like, it felt weird to be considered an other in another place. Like, that's not a fun experience. But, yeah, it is crazy how big of, like, how much landmass there is in the States and how vastly different things can be from, like, one side of the country to the other.
I think the last thing that I kind of, like, that we talked about talking about your sort of, like, struggles with, you know, anxiety or body image issues, dieting, diet fads, which a lot of us have fallen victim to.
Oh gosh, yeah.
I guess it all kind of comes back to anxiety, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, even what we were talking about earlier of just, like, I didn't ask for help when I, like I didn't feel comfortable being a burden. I can look back at my childhood now and be like, oh yeah, that was just a super anxious child, like, poor baby. My parents, like, they definitely, my family in general is just, we're all so they're also smart and so driven and successful, like, have done a lot of amazing things. So there are certain things that, like, other families, it'd be like, this is a major accomplishment to graduate from college, to get all A's, to do all these things. For our family, it's pretty, like, if you don't do that, like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know what it was. So, like, growing up, I for sure was just not, like, again, like, I can't read it enough. My parents did not put this kind of pressure on me, but I legit would feel so bad and crappy if I, like, didn't do the best I did on, like, I could on a test. Like, if I got, like, a B plus on something.
Were your parents both, like, pretty, like, tough love, like not hard on you, but, like, very, like, just stressing success?
I think they just genuinely thought that all these things, like, I really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah, I just had way too many activities going on as a kid. Like, I was president of two different clubs. I was in honors and AP classes. I was, like, an executive on a charity league. I was in varsity soccer. And then, like, I did swim for a while. And then I also was doing theater and, like, plays and stuff on the side. And I feel like I'm even missing. Oh, and then club soccer outside of varsity soccer, which actually would take up the most time often. And I just had all these things because it was like, you need to do these things to get to college, like, which is true. You do need to have all of these. Oh, and student government. So I was for sure that, like, that overachieving kid, but I also felt that that was all necessary. And there were certain times when I was like, if my academics faltered in any way, I would just be so depressed about it. And I would be doing so much stuff, but I would also just, like, I would not know that I had the option of, like, stopping one of those things. Like, I didn't have to show up for that. Like, that would have been okay. Like, I honestly, there are times when I'm like, I really should have, like, quit soccer at a younger age. Like, I kind of wish I did, because it was such a life takeover. And it would stress me out so much, and I would never have my weekends free to do whatever I wanted to. Like, I would have, as an anxious little child, like, if I knew for some reason about soccer, like, the fitness aspect of it would, like, just ruin my day. Like, if I knew I had to run, like, which is why I never would have been good at cross country or track and field, if I knew I had to run and do, like, fitness stuff at the end of the day, my entire day was crap. I was just thinking about that, like, from, like, start to end. And I would just be hoping I would, like, it would get rained out, hoping something would happen that I would fall ill in some way.
Because you were juggling 80 other things.
I was juggling so much. And weirdly, like, it was so, so intense. And I was so, I felt like if I didn't do any of those things, like, I'm sure there was some deep part of me that was like, ooh, like, I wouldn't be as loved by my parents if I didn't do this. Not that they ever expressed any of that, but I did put a lot of pressure on myself as a kid. And looking back, I'm like, oh, that sucks. Because, like, even, like, I got to college, everything was great. Mm-hmm. And when I got to college,
I was going
to
say, college must have seemed like a breeze for you.
Literally the easiest thing. If anything, it was harder because I was having more free time than ever. Mm-hmm. So I'm so, and, like, even now I kind of struggle with, like, I, like, needed a very structured lifestyle. I'm like, I need to know that I'm going to be at this thing from this time to this time, then this thing from this time to this time, then I have this thing to do when I get home. Like, I needed people to tell me what to do. And so, like, when it came to be just more like, oh, it's your turn to kind of decide what the heck's going on with your day, I was like, what the heck? What do I do? Like, I don't, somebody tell me, like, I got to hire a life coach or something. Like,
just hearing this is making me anxious.
Well, that's
too much to put on one person.
It was way too much. It was way too much. But the scary thing is, and I'm like scared for, like, my kids in the future and just, like, kids now, like, everything is just getting harder and more competitive. And, like, the things that I did are just expected. And, like,
And beyond that, also having just like the best grades and the best test scores, like there are just more people in the world. And it's like the colleges that I got into and the ones that I didn't get accepted to, it would have been an entirely different thing if I were doing all the things I did, but I were like my parents' age. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't get into UCLA and it devastated me, except my parents met at UCLA. But it was literally like no one got into UCLA that year. Like yeah. You had to be, I don't even, like literally never have gotten like a point off of anything in your life. Like it was just insane.
You still ended up going to UC.
I went to a great school and I'm so thankful. I don't know, like I put this scary amount of expectations on mm-hmm. myself, and it sucks because it's like, if I'm looking back, I'm like, God, like I, like, everything turns out okay. Like
right.
You don't have to stress like that. There are so many good UCs, but if you legitimately feel like your
University of California.
University of California's. Sorry. Yeah, no, it's, and they're great. They're all great schools. And for a California resident, they're a lot, they make a lot more sense financially. They're mm-hmm. like half the price of the financial institution. But like, yeah, I put so much pressure on myself for what? I'm like, I got a great college education. I didn't go to the place that I thought I was going to go, but yeah, like when I got to college, like you said, it was a breeze. It was so easy. And I felt like yeah. I was doing something wrong. So I'm like, this shouldn't be as simple as it is. But it was just because I had put so much pressure on myself.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary.
Amanda, you wouldn't believe this, but I have a few transactions that I accidentally forgot about.
Forgot about? What do you mean?
I mean, I was subscribed to a few things that kept charging me every month, and I forgot to cancel them. Before I knew it, I was spending way too much money. That's why I started to use Rocket Money.
I thought Rocket Money just helped you with budgets.
Well, yes, it can categorize purchases, help you stay on budget, but Rocket Money can track subscriptions and has the ability to cancel unwanted ones within the app.
I'm really, really happy that your wallet is feeling a little bit more full. So, you know, maybe we do lunch, your treat.
Whoa. Just because Rocket Money's app consolidates checkings, savings, loans, and investments into a single dashboard to give me a clear view of my financial picture doesn't mean you can take my lunch money.
Take a breath, honey.
Well, seriously, Rocket Money has saved me so much over the years. I really don't let any subscriptions fly past me.
Yeah, you tell them.
I am checking that app. I'm making sure that everything I'm paying for, I'm aware of.
Boss.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth. That's rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth. rocketmoney.com/smoshmouth.
But obviously that sort of like that anxiety and like striving for perfection
mm-hmm.
manifested itself in other ways other than just like getting the perfect grades, yeah. right? Like you had to be perfect at everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like couldn't make a misstep. But I think that, yeah, like I think that the way that I would start to handle that anxiety and stress too would just be with like eating. And it would be like I was pretty regimented as a kid for what I could have. Like I could only have like a certain amount of like dessert and like a certain amount of snacks. I hadn't had my first sip of Coca-Cola until I was like 14 because my parents were scared of caffeine stunting my growth.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're definitely like looking back at it now, like it didn't matter as much when I was younger, like because kids have such an intense metabolism and yeah. I was also just doing so much soccer. So it was like I could eat a fucking horse and be yeah, fine. Like, yeah. No, it wouldn't even show up. I'd lose weight, if anything. Like, it was crazy. But then growing, as I got older, I think I started to notice those unhealthy eating habits when I'd be out with my friends. And when I had mm-hmm. a bit of my own disposable income, mm-hmm. I was like, this is how I'm going to alleviate this stress. This is something I can control. And I can eat these things that make me happy. And that's how it's all going to work. Which isn't a great way to look at food. It's like definitely an unhealthy relationship with
binge eating and like and just fast food and junk food in general. Like everything's fine in moderation.
Eating disorders is not an uncommon thing.
No.
And like I kind of just did a very, very, very ultra quick Googling. So don't quote me on this, but it was something like 9% of the U.S. population deals with eating disorders of some kind. Mm-hmm. So it's something that like I think almost everyone has some unhealthy relationship with food to a degree.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And I think the fascinating thing about like with eating disorders, and I'm not up to date. It's been a while since I took psychology in school. I'm not up to date with what the classifications are on DSM, but there is such a huge spectrum of things. Like I feel like eating disorders can range from even things with just like body dysmorphia that kind of affect how you view food as a result, and like just the occasional binge eating and just like an unhealthy relationship with food in general. But I do feel like a lot of us go through that, especially in the States, I think, too. Mm. I don't know. I feel like just our affinity for binging alcohol, food, like our like access to very cheap fast food that's oftentimes the cheapest thing and the most accessible to especially someone of a lower income like I was when I was a kid. Like it really does mess with our heads in a lot of ways.
I mean, there was that dumb fuck CEO of Whole Foods that was like, oh, people are just fat because they're stupid and they're making bad nutritional choices because they're stupid.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Like, no.
No.
Fucking idiot.
That is the statement, like the purest statement from someone of such privilege, like of like literal, like he has not had to experience any hardships in his life to have a statement like that. Like that's absolutely insane.
If you have $2, you can get a meal at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like $2 or $3 can get you... Can
Absolutely.
Get you like
the dollar
that,
menu.
That will fill. That will give you a fill of food.
Yeah,
and it's. Is it going to be good for you? I mean, it'll get you plenty of calories.
It's going to be a lot of calories.
It'll keep you alive for sure.
Yeah, but your fat, cholesterol levels, like everything like that, suffer in the meantime.
Your macros are going to be off, bros. Your macros are going to be off. Oh, you're definitely not going to go into ketosis doing that.
Show, bro.
But yeah, I mean, like the whole food system in this country, and not just this country, but in a lot of places, it's so wacky.
It's so messed
because,
up.
Because, I mean, if we had to pay the real price for meat, the dollar menu would not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we subsidize a lot of industries heavily.
Oh, absolutely. So. It's crazy. Yeah, because, like, the prices that we pay for those freaking Happy Meals and stuff, they ain't too happy. Like, it's insane, like, how little, like, we are actually paying. And then also the quality of the meat and everything that we're eating suffers, too. And not to say that I don't, like, fully smash a Big Mac here and there. Like, I am a big fan.
Oh, yeah, you gotta smash. Those Macs from time to time.
Smash those Macs every so often, but
it's just crazy. I'm not saying don't eat fast food.
No, absolutely not.
Like, I totally understand. Like that's what you know. A lot of people. Yes, they're like if you really make the effort, like there are healthy options, but it's not. And especially in a lot of low-income areas, where some low-income areas don't even have a fucking grocery store.
Access to fresh produce and stuff.
Yeah, you like don't have that access at all. It's a huge problem.
So binge eating was kind of something that
I would definitely binge eat. I think I just like wasn't aware of when I was hungry or not. It was just more like, am I bored? Am I stressed? Am I like whatever? And those are all reasons for me to be eating at the time. But I think it is something. It's like you said, and like for so much of these things, growing up, you're just not aware that other people are experiencing the same things. And yeah, everyone kind of goes through something like that, like a binge eating. There were I went through so many weird diet fads where I would be trying to live off of like negative calories and like powder food and stuff.
Powder food,
like Nutrisystem,
oh,
you know, but
right,
like not
right.
The good Nutrisystem,
the
like the shitty Nutrisystem. Yeah, like the shakes, the weird like they had so many meals that were you didn't need to refrigerate or freeze. Like they were just like the weird like
they're
almost like
MREs.
What are those?
Like meal ready to eat. They're like what they give people in the military.
Yeah. No, it was, I don't even know. It was so strange. It was like the way that like a cup of noodle like functions, like a dehydrated like astronaut food. Like, I don't know.
Dried foods.
It was just, it was so weird. But I just felt, I just like didn't like myself and my body. And I'm like, this is how I'm going to like, you know, get myself to like love me again is to like try and make something happen with my weight. And it's just, it's,
it's such a bad way to look at food, yeah. but it's also very common.
So what did you do? Like, how did you deal with something like that?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think so much of it was such a learning curve for me of like going and like from playing a competitive sport, which I'm sure like you experienced too, of just like running all the time, of just adjusting your lifestyle to maybe not having that ingrained of a workout in your everyday routine. But so it was like I had to learn to like just like listen to my body more in the sense of like, am I hungry right now or am I just like stressed or bored or like one of these other like outlier factors. It was a lot of that. It was a lot of just like looking inwards and being like, okay, what's going on here? And then two, also just like gaining my self-worth from something other than my image, like making sure that I was happy with myself, like in whatever state I looked like or whatever state I was in, like with if I was at my whatever weight, like it didn't matter. It was just about like, okay, I need to make sure that I'm making these decisions about like food and about health, like exercise and health and my body based on just wanting to like internally feel good and feel yeah. more active and like more energetic and happier, not just because I'm doing it all for the purpose of trying to like look a certain way.
How did you get there?
It's still a work in process.
Because I feel like that's a path that a lot of people are on.
Absolutely.
And it's really hard to get to a place like that. So like, I'm sure it was like a few different things or?
I had tried so many different diets and fads and things like when I was younger that just were not successful. Like they're all such like lose all this weight real quick and then that's it. And then like you can't sustain that because
yeah,
your
you
body isn't.
Back.
Yeah. It's like, it's just a form of like almost like malnutrition. Like you're just like, you're losing weight quickly, but that doesn't mean it's going to stay off. It's just temporary. It's like water weight basically. For me, like my only diet like recommendation ever is just like, just listen to your body. Like if you're hungry, eat something. Like, and if you're not hungry, like don't.
I mean sometimes even that's hard.
It really is. It's easier said than done, and it's taken a lot. And then I guess in terms of just like self-love, it's just giving yourself the time to, as cheesy as it is, like affirm your other good qualities about yourself. Like, what do I like about me? Like, besides just like my appearance, like what, like I need to gain some sort of like inner validation from something other than aesthetics. Cause that's just such a flimsy thing to base your entire self-worth on. But it's way easier said than done. Like, I think it's just like waking up in the morning and like reminding yourself of like the things that you like about your life and who you are and like what you're going to do with your day that excites you. That's not just taking photos of yourself and like posting them.
Is that something you do every morning? Like you...
No, I'm definitely not this like perfect person when it comes to that sort of stuff by any means. It's just something that I previously would consider it to be I'd be like almost embarrassed to like kind of like be like, ooh, go me. Like it would feel a little bit like self-involved, but I'm trying to get better of just like being like, okay, like I like these things. Like, hey, I did this really cool thing today that I'm really proud of. Like, fuck, like that was an like awesome sketch I just shot and I liked how I did that. Or like, wow, I just wrote something that I'm like, this is pretty cool and I'm excited about. Like it's like noticing the things about yourself that you like and just reaffirming that and just giving yourself the time to like pat yourself on the back too for those things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, how have you felt kind of about that stuff?
Well, before you turn on me,
I'm sorry.
I'm still trying to understand.
No, ask me more.
I'm still trying to understand how you got to that place. How did you, like, did you read some books? Did you just think really hard one day? Like, did you go to therapy?
Yeah.
Like, was it, like, what, like, how did you arrive to this solution? Because I feel like There's not one way to get there. And I feel like everyone has their own journey and their own path, and it's sometimes the work is never done. You sort of highlighted these things that you weren't happy with yourself.
Right.
Or you said like, okay, I'm not looking at this in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And what were the sort of steps that you took to get you to where you are today?
You know, I getcha. I think a big part of it was, I think it was like therapy and being more communicative about how I'm feeling. Because there are times like when you're just kind of stuck in your own head and you start to get super hard on yourself, like there's no one to check that for you if it's just going on internally. And if you're someone with anxiety or even like someone with like social anxiety who just constantly think that like that everyone hates you and doesn't like you, or like there, you kind of go down this rabbit hole. So the biggest part of that too was like, if you're like having some of those thoughts, like maybe just talking to someone about it. It doesn't need to necessarily be a therapist if you're not ready for that, but like a family member, someone you're close with, someone you trust, to be able to just to kind of be like, hey, I'm thinking this about myself. And that's the person that can be like, oh, hey, yeah, that's not a good thing to think. Like, that's not true. And like, here's why. And the fact that you're thinking that is just like, it's don't lead yourself down that on your own rabbit hole. So I think becoming more open and communicative has really helped, like talking to my friends that are like, Kimmy, whoa, like what, you are so hard on yourself about these things. Like, here are things that I love about you, or here are things that I think are really special about you. And sometimes hearing it from another person, weirdly, is a good way to start. From the people that love you.
Were there any sort of like external factors that you had to change, like whether it was a bad relationship or a family member, like that you identified as like, this person is toxic to my sort of like self-worth?
Definitely. There would definitely be people in the past. Like, I think I'd say when I was younger, it was for sure friend groups of mine. I definitely was never one of those people to have the same friend from when I was like 2 years old to now. Like, I always had a pretty, like a lot of friends come in and out of my life, and no one was ever in it for too long. And I used to take that really hard. Like, I would take that as a reflection of who I am. I'm like, oh, I suck because they don't want to hang out with me anymore. And it was, it was just like, we never really got to know each other. Like, we were all just kind of friends because it was convenient. And like, those were people that like, well, they didn't say anything hurtful per se. It just, I don't think I ever felt really validated by my friends or felt supported because they just honestly didn't know who I was and I didn't know who they were, like vice versa. So like, I was really hard on myself back when like I would lose those people in my life. And now I'm like, oh, wait, no, you keep the people in your life that validate you and support you and make you feel good. You take the ones out that are like trying to cut you down, that are like trying to insult you or bring you down to a level, because oftentimes, like, and that sucks for those people, like they're really insecure and they have a lot of stuff to work on and they're in no place to be in any relationship or friendship.
Right.
But yeah, definitely more recently, like there were people that I had to kind of, cut out. And I think even coming out of those like relationships, I'm like, oh wow, I put up with a lot more than I should have. And those mistakes also kind of inform my future decisions and how I can recognize faster when someone is being unnecessarily hurtful, or they're saying something that isn't kind, or they're not supportive. Because I feel like every relationship in your life should serve a purpose in some way. Like, you should be like, that person should make you feel good or support you or be there for you in some way.
Or be honest with you.
I think
one important thing to mention to the viewers is like, you know, when you say cut out the people that are being hurtful, I think some people, I mean, you have to know that like every friendship isn't always going to be completely positive, but you have to understand that when your openness between friends and being honest about issues is great. I don't want people listening to misconstrue that with, you know, oh, if I have like a rough time with my friend, that means I should cut him out.
No,
I think it's definitely the intention, right? If the intention is to hurt, or if the intention is to hurt you in some way, then absolutely cut them out.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that you've realized. But yeah, for me, like I've been working on trying to be more open with my friends and
that's
just
fair.
have a deeper connection with.
Yeah.
With people, it is easy to just keep things very much on the surface and be safe.
Definitely.
It is that very American thing.
No, it's so true. No, I agree entirely. I think for me, like with the relationships I was referencing, were people that were just nothing but hurtful. Like, there was no supportive aspect to that. I would have conversations with these people and try and be open and honest with them about like, hey, like that's like not the nicest thing that you said to me. And I don't really feel that great when you do it. And they would just be kind of so self-absorbed, they wouldn't didn't notice that. But no, absolutely. I think being open and honest and communicative in any relationship is so healthy. And like, obviously, a lot of relationships go through ups and downs. And if one person makes a mistake, it doesn't mean that they're a bad person or that they're not worthy of a second chance. It's just kind of gauging how you feel and how you felt throughout the whole thing. And
I think that's good that you gave them a chance.
Yeah. I'm nothing if not, I mean, if anything, I think I'm one to give people too many chances at times. I think I'm in a very, like, in a place in my life right now where I'm like, oh, yeah, like, that was bad, bye. And, like, just, like, feeling self-empowered in that sense because I've never been like that in the past, really.
It's a superpower, man. Cutting out friends that are not beneficial to your life is a superpower.
Yeah.
And I
it's hard.
Couldn't recommend it more. Yeah. It's wonderful. Cut them out. You don't need them. All right, we're gonna move on.
Cool.
To the shoot, dude.
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 Now, give me, it's been a minute since I've been on the podcast again. Give me a little rundown of what the Shoot Dude is.
Right. So the again. Shoot Dude, we have petitioned our lovely listeners and viewers for stories that make us go, shoot, dude.
That's right.
And they have submitted to shootdude@smosh.com. That's shootdood @smosh.com. And every episode we read one out. So this one's from Chris, and Kevin's told me that this is a very long story that he has truncated. So Chris, please don't be mad. We just made your story a little more succinct. I'm using my SAT words.
Oh, look at you.
Truncated.
Truncated.
Succinct.
I know.
Chris said, besides being a teacher, I'm a professional violinist.
Oh,
nice.
Cool.
I was hired to perform for a newlywed's first dance at their reception. They requested Ed Sheeran and Beyonce's Perfect. The wedding planner asked me to stand/perform right next to the cake table that was situated next to the dance floor. They had activated a fog machine, which created a very elegant yet mystifying first dance by the wedding couple, complemented by my violining. Is that a word?
My violin. Yeah. I don't know. He's
violin.
A violinist. I feel like he
should
know.
He should know. He should know. Little did I know, though, that the fog machine had created a large puddle of melted dry ice right next to me, but was still covered by the remaining fog on the dance floor that I stood next to. I proceeded to walk off the floor and stepped right into the puddle, lost my balance, and did a funny dance. I fell on the floor in front of the large crowd of guests with my entire right side soaked in melted dry ice. Even worse, as I fell, my foot grazed the cake table and kicked it, causing the three-tiered cake to wobble. See, this is what I was worried about.
Oh my God. I know. I'm like, this story is like taking turns that I didn't expect. Okay, the cake table's wobbling.
Wobbling.
No,
the cake's wobbling.
Oh, no.
I saw my life flash through my eyes that very moment, but thank goodness the cake didn't collapse. But you could definitely hear a sudden gasp in the crowd. As I got up, I could tell my face was beet red, and I quickly and professionally got up and exclaimed, as long as the cake is okay. I quickly packed up my violin and just wanted to bolt out of the reception hall, head home, and crawl in bed. I remember the wedding couple consoling me afterwards and telling me, hey, we got an open bar. Go help yourself to some shots. You deserve it after that incident.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there's a video.
Yep. If you guys want to take a moment to watch it, it's basically...
Oh, but there's no fall.
Yes, but it proves that he was there. You see the whole setup. You can imagine it about to happen. They just didn't catch it on the video.
Oh, my God.
That story's for sure a shoot, dude. It would have been a bigger shoot, dude, if he knocked the cake over, but then this is a definite, this definitely seems like a real believable shoot, dude.
Yeah.
And it's still embarrassing as all hell. Like, they just had this beautiful moment and then his ass just like slips and falls right there.
Yeah, right there. And then it definitely seems like a shoot. I'm just like so relieved that cake didn't fall. It's really that like my heart was about to drop so low.
He was not going to get a tip that night.
No, oh my gosh. But yeah.
Maybe the tip of a knife.
Murdered over cake.
People have been murdered over less.
That's true. What did we learn today? They've been murdered over
Frank Sinatra's My Way.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra's My Way.
You could be murdered over anything. That's the fun part of this society that we live
in. Now I know not to do Frank Sinatra's My Way in the Philippines.
Never.
I'm going to skip that song.
Oh my God. It's like Macbeth in a theater. It's like the thing that you don't do.
Oh, yeah.
Or else. It's cursed.
It's bad luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never say it. Apparently, I didn't know. I'm learning things today. I love that. I also learned that sharks, everything I know about sharks is wrong. And that's okay.
Yeah, sharks are pretty chill.
Sharks are,
They're not that much of a threat.
I like sharks.
Well, Kimmy, this has been an adventure. Thank you for sharing things. I feel like we cracked that nut a little bit.
Do you feel like you got to know me more?
I feel like we cracked the nut.
Cool.
Just the cracks have begun.
They've begun.
I'm getting into that meaty, nutty center.
Yeah.
I hope that's not too creepy sounding.
Nah, I liked it. I like nuts.
But thank you so much, Kimmy, for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
We're gonna jump onto a stream right now.
Yep.
On twitch.tv/smoshgames. So
be watch that.
We're gonna go do that. And thank you guys for listening, watching the Smoshcast. Yeah. As always, if you have not rated it 5 stars on the podcast,
go
apps,
do that.
Go do it.
What's wrong with you?
Give us a review. Say,
do it.
Say, haha, I like Kimmy.
That'd be nice.
And go subscribe. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah, subscribe to that. And thank you so much for all the questions today. Those were some fun ones to answer. Thank you for the shoot, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a little therapized, but it's all good stuff. This is great. It's a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And see you later. Okay?
I'll see you later.